This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing. Coming to you from Tan Talk Radio Network Studio here in glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. And oh, wow, of course, now we are in wonderful Florida weather, and all of you people up north, I'm sorry for you. Well, no, it's all right as long as it's not too cold and you are watching the trees turn. But I know that my brother has snow, and although he loves it, I myself would not want snow in October. Although when I was a kid, and of course I'm from northern Michigan and Upper, and we had snow quite often before Halloween, and we were always not sure, you know, what we poor little kids in those days, we had to trudge through the snow in our costumes. It was fun. It was fun. Well, I have a very interesting program today. I'm going to start with a book that I didn't read, actually. So I'm going to start with her in a minute. But at the bottom of the hour, I have Alan Shane. And he was the president of Warner Brothers Television. Warner Brothers Television. I see I stumble even when I say it, because when I was in Hollywood and I was, oh boy, those were a little bit of fun working or trying to work with Hollywood. One of the places I tried to get into was Warner Brothers, and now I get to talk to the former president for 10 years. He was 10 years the president, and he's going to be on at the bottom of the hour. So I'm looking forward to that. And now I'm going to be talking to Mary Ellen Lucas, and I have to admit to her, I didn't read the entire book. And the book is called Are You Still Mine? Hi, Mary Ellen.
Hi, Patsy. How are you?
Okay. Well, you know, I always read all the books that I review. Unfortunately, with yours, it's a little bit long, and it's just, I didn't read the whole thing. But the Audible version is what I love the Audible version. You have probably one of the best narrators ever for that Audible version.
I know, I do. Really? Right?
Amazing. Amazing. She has one of the greatest voices for a narrator ever, for a female narrator. I love, there are a lot of men I love their voices and I can listen to for hours. But women, I usually can't listen to them for that extended period, like 5 hours in a row. But with her, you could listen to her literally for 5 hours with no problem. So I really was thrilled with that. And since we're talking about your book, as there's so many aspects to it, and one of them, of course, is transcendental meditation and all sorts of things. I was thinking that her voice is like the perfect voice, isn't it?
Oh, it is, and she's my best friend, which makes it perfect.
Oh, so you get to actually listen to her talking. You're lucky.
I was there with her. Actually, we tried it out on a couple of our friends, and the same thing happened with me. I couldn't listen for too very long, listening to others, but then when she started, she knew my cadence, she knew how I would interject different things, and it was amazing. I sat there and I was very comfortable all the while she was reading to me.
Well, she is excellent. And as I said, I did not read all 1,124 pages of the book.
That's not a problem. What's good about this book, though, Patsy, is that you don't have to read it from cover to cover. You could open it and take a look at whatever you choose for the day.
Exactly. That's and you have to, because it weighs three pounds, over 3 pounds. So you have to think about that. Well, yeah. let us talk about the premise of the book and also about your journey into discovering what you've discovered and your take on it. You know, this is a crazy time in the world.
It is.
And 2020, it's hard to believe. It's a year of absolute insanity in so many ways. And as we're talking about things that over the past few months, I've been having a wide variety of books because I don't know what people need at this time. I've done a lot of children's books. I've done a lot of young adult books because it's so important that they are out there reading. I've done also a lot of books that are self-help because people need that kind of help right now. They need some kind of reinforcement in their lives. Everybody is like a little bit off kilter and not sure where they're going and what they're doing and why they're doing it. So that's why when I got your book, I thought, whoa. when they said to me it was over 1,000 pages, I thought, okay, well, not since, who's the last big, well, I've read a lot of over 1,000 page books like Marcel Proust, but I thought, okay, this is unusual. People don't write books like this anymore. But you have a big story to tell. So why don't you lay sort of the foundation and then we'll get into more details.
Well, the book is a compendium of different things, but I guess what I want to bring across with the book is that religion at this point in time is irrelevant. People cannot live by religion or a set of beliefs that have taken them into different modes of oppression and depression. And, you know, Patsy, this world is very different. We're looking at a generation that has pulled away from that because it didn't connect with them, or they didn't connect with the religion. And I could understand that, because most of the religions that we grew up with were patriarchal. The kids don't look at those things today. This generation is looking to become more united. They don't see labels that were put on groups of people or cultures as in the past by the established religions. What they see, Patsy, is they want to get along. A lot of these biases and discrimination, the prejudice, things that we're facing today are being all dredged up, and where this generation had already begun living. And this book is about that. Let's rise above the consciousness of a fallen nature, and let's start living instead of pointing out and dredging up things from the past. Let's actually start living what we want to live. And that's what this book is about, rising above the human consciousness and saying, hey, wait a second, you told me these over the years, this did not work. And why can't we try it this way? And I found that a lot of young people from this generation are the ones that really connect with the book. People need to know that they have worth, that they have a place in this life. And too often I heard in the past, you know, I don't know if I matter. Well, everyone matters, and this book is to help them to realize that no longer do you have to stay in an oppressed version of yourself, because oftentimes people put themselves in these positions. They make themselves oppressed, going back over rules that really do not apply today. So I'm trying to get, especially women, women are empowered, and I'm not looking to raise women above men, but let's bring it to an equality that makes sense. And women today have to know that they have that Wonder Woman component within them, that no matter what their personality is, they have a lot to offer this world. And in order to calm the chaos, we have to stop putting labels on everything. We have to start working together and networking as women and men to bring this world out of chaos and into a time where we could actually grow and witness to, especially our country. We have a tremendously great country, the best in the world. But unless we overcome these old and traditional systems of belief, we're not going to move on. So what my book is doing is telling everyone, okay, we know where you've been. We know what you learned. We know what your grandmother taught. We know what your parents taught. But right now, we all have to learn. We all have to sit down and take a listen to what the kids have to say. Millennials have gotten a really bad rap, but yet at the same time, the baby boomers going over and over the same ways we handle things before is not working. We need to change. We need to rise above what we were taught and become a whole new nation of everyone being included, no matter what the religion, culture, age, race, color, any of these things, because we're put here to work together. That's what makes this mystical body that I'm talking about, the all in all, bringing power from the universe. You know, my book is centered on Jesus and Mary Magdalene, who actually no one knew at all. And by being subject to the opinions of an established religion, we're not budging. We're still in a patriarchal mindset. And oftentimes, even men are affected. Men who love and to work with women, men who have worked their whole life to help women go further, are under this canopy of this patriarchal past traditional religion. And so what we're trying to do is say, listen, you know, I often go back, you know, if you, I don't know who is out there that is a Star Trekkie, okay? But if you watch that show, okay, you saw how everyone came together. Everyone acknowledged the talents and skills of whoever was on that starship. They were so much more advanced than we are in 2020. I mean, we're afraid of everything. We have to keep labeling everything. And unless we stop doing that and just start living it, there will be no change. So basically, that's what I want to, my book, to the impact I want to make. Rise above that rational human consciousness that has kept everyone locked down. Rise above that because it's coming from a fallen nature to begin with. I mean, this is not heaven, okay? This is exile. So let's make the best of it and show the all in all, or show God or Jesus what we're capable of doing, because this is our chance. So when I wrote the book, it was a compendium of their love story, Jesus and Mary Magdalene's love story, from a perspective that no one wanted to hear before because the church had condemned it. Oh, no, we can't go there. No, this isn't important. Well, it is, because Jesus is greater than what he was made out to be. He didn't judge. He didn't segregate. He wasn't biased. He wasn't prejudiced. He took his wife everywhere, and she played a very important role because she represented women of the time who had been oppressed and was now free. Free because they weren't subject to a system of beliefs that locked them down. At that point in time, Cassie, women couldn't do anything. And the only way they learned about God is if their husband taught them. And if their husband was biased in any way, which you could just imagine, they learned nothing. They were subservient. Today, with the talents of women, even watching commercials or seeing people, women in workplaces and in men's position as they were in the war, they're still, even though the world shows them as they have progressed, they have grown, in reality, their paychecks haven't changed. And the opinion of these established teachings haven't changed. So I'm looking to tell every woman, okay, you are a Wonder Woman. Reach deep inside from the heart and soul that you have, knowing that you can do so many things. Don't get discouraged. Let's come together as women, and let's bring the men in who support us, and let's make a brand new world with a brand new set of beliefs, and let's all change this by action, not by just protesting and labeling. And not that these things aren't good, Cassie, it's just that we're stuck there. We have always been stuck there. Let's do something. Everyone now is arguing with who was in the minority most and who was abused most, and it's like, come on, let's move on. It was bad. It was bad. And a big and a greater part of all that came from established religion. So we have to break those bonds that we have to those, and we can't be afraid that God's not going to love us, because I believe with an aunt that I always felt was infused by God, that this is the time. This is the fullness of time now, and we have to use this opportunity to make our world great, and especially to make our country great. I mean, it's so sad now, even at this time, election time, where we're being pulled apart by political parties. And Patsy, I mean, seriously, we are greater than that. And policies are one thing. We don't have to agree with policies of either person, but let's get the hate out and let's come together and say, yeah, I don't like this and I wish it was like this. But let's focus on more important things in our lives, like, okay, giving ourselves worth and value and saying, you know, I woke up this morning, I'm afraid to go into work. Why? Why are you afraid? Don't be afraid to go into work. Don't make yourself less than. You know, the other thing with my book, Patsy, it says that under established religions, not spirituality, it's not the same thing. Religion is not spirituality. Spirituality oftentimes is not the religion. That's why people have moved on. But you wake up in the morning and say, you know, I could do this. Because what we were told before is that if you're not accepted or if you're like this and you're not worthy and no one's going to pay attention to you. And, oh, my gosh, I have witnessed women, Patsy, who have been punished for having an abortion when they were in their teens, up to their 60s and 70 years old, and no one ever thought to ask, why did this happen? Why? And, you know, in some countries still, they have prayer groups that focus on having services for the child who was aborted and showing the mother how she cannot be forgiven up into a certain point.
How did you get, where did the idea of sort of focusing on Mary Magdalene come from? How did that come into your sort of...
When you go through different reference books over the years, as well as mystery school information, you start putting things together, and if you look at traditional scriptures, they don't make sense. When I wrote this book, you have to write it, and you have to cross-reference everything. You have to look from the past to the future to the present. Back to the past, to the future, to the present, and see, does this work? And they don't work. I'm sorry. The scriptures don't work. And even there was a Cardinal Dolan, who said, yes, you know, there are flaws in scriptures. Well, this is a major flaw, because in order to keep a religion going, you, of course, have to have goals. So once I start cross-referencing things, plus based on, like, as I said, as growing up, I always had a knowledge, call it infused knowledge, divine knowledge, I don't know. But it's easy to tell in your heart and soul when something is just not right. I spent numerous years going through everything I could find, and it doesn't make sense that Jesus would live the life that he lived based on what the church and the religion taught about him. Even his teachings weren't correct. The timelines weren't correct. And there's no way that God can only be patriarchal, okay? God had to be divine masculine, divine feminine, and that's where I started.
Okay.
And that's where I grew from.
Well, you know, as I said, your book is vast. It's really enormous. And the ideas that you've come out with are fascinating. Of course, a lot of people won't agree with the idea of no organized religion, but
Patsy, actually are organized to a point, but what I'm basing it on is what people have grown up over the years.
Yeah.
Traditional established religion, who basically cut women out of any part of what they teach.
Well, now, do you have a web page that you want, web page or Facebook page you want people to see?
We do.
What is it?
I have MiriamLucas.com. You could also visit the Eshan Church, EESHAN Church.org, and it explains everything about what I'm teaching and how what's within the book, actually, and it takes it into podcasts and videos. I'm on all social media platforms, So it makes it easy for everyone to find out more information based on what this was discovered in this interview.
And this, the name of the book is Are You Still Mine? It's available wherever books are sold.
Everywhere.
You know, you're...
And it hit number one bestseller on Amazon twice.
Okay. Well, I think that people should, as I said, this is 2020. We are looking at our lives, and we're trying to find our place. And I hope that whatever it is, that somewhere along the line, people too will understand that violence is bad, and we have so many possibilities. The human mind, and we are really. We are special, and we have to find that what we can work with in the future, and what we can take from the past.
Right, and hopefully 2020 brings clarity, as we hope it will.
Absolutely.
Well,
thank you so much for being with me today on Joy on Paper. I think that my listeners are always looking for something new to think about and to read, and you certainly have encouraged them. It took you how long to write this book?
3.5 years.
Okay. And so everybody, if you have something that is important to you, to see your words on paper, it is really a miracle, isn't it?
It is.
And you've done a great job. And again, it's Mary Ellen Lucas, and the name of the book is Are You Still Mine? It's available wherever books are sold. And we're going to, again, thank you. And I hope that people will look into the book for you, okay?
Thank you, Patsy.
Okay, thank you, Mary Ellen. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, in a minute, we're going to go for a commercial, and I'm just asking Big Ed, while we're going to go into a commercial, would you pull up, my mind just went blank, Glenn Erickson's promo for his book, because I've been thinking a lot about that book. I like the way he wrote about Android, so... pull that up, but we'll play first the commercials and then that, and then we'll come back. And I have Alan Shane, former president of Warner Brothers, and his very personal memoir.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Have you ever faced disaster? The Red Cross is always there for you. The Red Cross responds to a call for help every 8 seconds. They have never turned anyone down. Now they need your financial support so that they can be ready to help you when the need arises. Donate online at redcross.org. Thank you.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more recording careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to Toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Pat. Patsy with a Z, and I am back. Okay, I'm going to interview somebody very special in a few minutes. Just wanted to say to all of you baseball-loving fans, and you know I am a baseball-loving fan, and every year, I don't know, I'm always hopeful that the Tigers will make it one day. But here in the Tampa Bay area, we were sad with the Dodgers winning. But we always live in hope, and that's what baseball people have to do. We have to live in hope. And, you know...
We won last night.
Oh, we won last night. We did, yeah. And we always have to keep our fingers crossed. Well, what are we going to do? The next guest is really, it's very funny. As all of you know, I always call my guests by their first name, or sometimes I will even give them a new name. If I don't like their name, I will call them, you know, I will give them a new name. So when Andrew Grant, or Andrew Child, as he is now, he came on, and I didn't like the... I said, you don't look like an Andrew. I'm going to call you Drew. And ever since then, I've been calling him Drew. Who else? Lori Chandler. I said, you look like a Lala, and so I call her Lala. And the next guest is... I'm in a big predicament here. His name is Alan Shane, and the name of his book is The Rain May Pass. And hi, Mr. Shane.
Hi there.
I don't know.
You got a new name for me?
I don't know if I want so much to call you Alan, because there was a time I would have been just wanting to be your friend, but I'm in such awe of you, because I was in, I was trying to break into Hollywood but a little bit after you. Who was it after you? Garth, I think. What's his name? Garth, who took the presidency after you sometime after that?
At Warner Brothers, you mean?
Yeah, Warner Brothers. Garth Ancier, something like that.
Oh, yes. That was later.
Yeah, that was later. That was after you. But yeah. If I would have... I mean, it's like I can't, it's almost, I'm like tongue-tied to talk to the president of Warner Bros. I could more likely call the president of the United States Don than I could call. I mean, I'm in such awe of you. You did so much. You actually brought Warner Brothers Television, I know, back to life, and gave it, all of your work in Hollywood is just legendary. And so you are to me, oh, Mr. Shane, I think you are fantastic.
I'm ready for you to audition, Patsy.
Wow.
I don't think of any of that now, because I think as a writer, I think about my book and writing it. And
I know.
I did write about, you know, Hollywood a bit in a book called Double Life, A Love Story.
I know, and it's...
I did with my partner at that time.
And that is, of course, a fantastic book, and a very touching book that you wrote about the love of your life, and
that's,
it lasted...
this book.
What?
That's this book.
Yeah, and so, you know, it's just wonderful that... We're now in a position in 2020 that we are opening up, hopefully things are changing, and
it's amazing. It is
amazing, and it's taken such a long time to get here, but the world has changed, and I like to think of it sort of in a way, if you have if you walk into a room and there's a dozen babies, all in diapers, and they're all different colors. There might be pink ones, there might be black ones, there might be brown ones, there might be red ones, there might be yellow ones, there might be, you know, a red head with freckles, and they're all wearing white diapers, and they're all lovable. It's amazing how when you see a baby... I mean, this is, I think, a gift from God that babies are cute, because we want to protect them. We want to love them. And You don't know what they are, and you don't know what they're going to grow up to be, because a really gorgeous baby might turn out to look like Winston Churchill. And he was a gorgeous baby, by the way. If you've ever go to England, you can actually see his hair. They still have his baby hair. And you can see what beautiful hair he had. He didn't turn out to be so gorgeous, but he was a beautiful baby. So beautiful that people said he looked like a doll. He didn't look real. So you don't know. And
you don't know what you're going to become or what is in you. That, I mean, you just don't know.
Exactly.
And that's why I wrote the book, in a sense, because it's, you know, it takes place in 1941, and nobody talked about being gay or anything in those days. It didn't exist. It did, of course, under the surface, but nobody talked about it. There were no books about it. There was no internet. There was nothing. So if you grew up as a young kid and had these instincts, there was no one to talk to about them. It was very difficult.
And so the book, which is called The Rain May Pass, is a very, very personal book, and about what you went through growing up in Massachusetts and in a community and, of course, a family that, as you said, it wasn't part of what was talked about at that time. So tell us what do you want to tell us about this book? How did you land up in Broadway? How did you land up in the life that you eventually developed, which is really quite amazing?
It's in the book, really, in the Rain May Pass, because it goes from my being 15 to 17. And at 17, at the end, without spoiling it, I am in New York and an actor. And it begins with me, you know, just not knowing what to do with myself and feeling uncomfortable, wanting friends very badly. And in the course of the book, I am forced to go and work with my grandmother in her shop on Cape Cod because they think she's old and somebody has to watch her. And she's a terrible woman, cold, unfeeling woman. And I'm even lonelier there because I'm not with any kids my own age. And I have the fortune of meeting an older guy. And we start a friendship. And out of that comes my being able to say I want to be an actor. I've never said it to anyone. And my feeling some sense of myself. It's a book, really, of finding oneself. And at the end, I have just begun, but I found myself, and it's also a love story. The relationship is filled with love and understanding. It's a short relationship, but it's a very true one.
Well, and you're a fine writer. You have a really wonderful way with words. You're very talented in able to express what you went through, and I always appreciate that when I read writing that is just sort of flows and is flawless. Actually,
someone said, Patsy, which I love, my prose is like putting on a comfortable pair of slippers.
Well, it is very, it's really
much of it is, you know, I remember everything about this episode, even though it's so many years ago. I remember every detail, and so it just poured out.
So it just poured out, and as I said, it's an important story. It's important for many points of view. Whether, you know, nowadays we need more understanding. We need people to understand.
I wanted to show Patsy, especially at the beginning, how the boy was, without knowing it, gay. It was part of his DNA. And that's what it is. You're born with that. And then, little by little, you experience things that confuse you. But finally, you realize that that's something you are. I went through many years of analysis trying to get out of it. But that was a time when we didn't accept it. Now, with the Pope accepting it, it's fabulous.
Well, definitely the times have changed, and all of the struggles that you went through. You went through really this living the double life and so many years of but all that time you grew and you became more and more successful. And I think that that's also empowering for people to know that, wow, you can be anything. You, as I said, you start off as this baby and we don't know what you're going to become, or we don't know where, you know, and it's just anything is possible.
Well, you know, also the important thing is finding yourself and dealing with that and saying, this is who I am. And that's a great help. Once I did that, and started a real relationship of my own later in life, we were able to work together. We could back up each other, which was wonderful, and love. And love really is the point of the book. That really, that's the most important thing.
It is. We really need more people to be understanding, more people to be accepting, and more people just to realize that there are things that we can change about ourselves. There are things we can't change about ourselves, but we can still, everybody can be good. Everybody has this ability to grow and expand and be an inspiration to others. And that's what you've done here.
Yes. Absolutely.
So, you know, as I said, you know, Mr. Shane, it's just like for me to just be talking to, you know, I've talked to so many people since I started this radio program 5 years ago. One of the things that when I started the radio program, I had no idea. I didn't know any writers. I didn't know any publishers. I didn't know anybody in the business of, you know, books. And I just started. And so I didn't have any rules. It was very funny. I didn't know, like, there were radio programs that specialized, and most of them, of course, want the best-selling authors, you know.
Yes.
And that's. But I didn't know that. I didn't know that. So I was just taking. Actually, I started by taking books off of my own bookshelf, and I liked those books, and I wanted to talk to the authors. So I sort of made this, like, you know, my kitchen table. Who do I want to talk to? And I started inviting people of all. I mean, the diversity is amazing. I've had 6-year-olds on. I had one woman celebrating her 97th birthday here. I've interviewed authors about, you know, thrillers and bestsellers. Of course, I talked to all of the best-selling authors like Lee Child and Who's Coming Next Week and Baldacci and all of those. But I love the smaller, the authors who don't get an opportunity with most radio shows or television, and definitely television shows. And so I've had people with eating disorders. I have you know, chefs. I have and I like the diversity. I've ensured all this time in this 5 years, whether it's Native Americans or Blacks or you know, the LGBTQ community or whatever. I want everybody to have this opportunity to promote their books, because I believe in the joy of writing. I believe that people should have this opportunity to get out there and promote their books. And so that's why.
It is a joy, too. It is a joy, Patsy.
Well, that's.
Go up to your study or wherever you write and sit down, and suddenly things come out that you had no intent to write. You remember things. That's when I wrote this memoir. All sorts of things came back to me that I didn't realize I knew. I mean, I remembered minutes in a conversation. So it is a joy. It's a wonderful title for your program.
Well, that's why I named it that way, because I, for me, it is not just the joy of writing, it's also the joy of reading. And that's what I wanted to get out to people, that there is a book out there for you to read that will inspire you, and there is a book within you that you can write and find that joy of seeing your words on paper and just knowing that you've written it and that somebody's going to read it. no matter how many people, there's going to be somebody out there who will read that book and say, that helped me. That really inspired me. That was there for me when I needed this book. And so that's why I was thrilled when I got your book. And of course, the fact that in my life, I never thought I would talk to the former president of Warner Brothers. They didn't talk. They didn't take lunch. They didn't take meetings with me. You know, it was real hard over there. I did have three of my original scripts optioned.
Really?
And they appeared.
Wonderful.
They appeared in the. I was so happy about it. They did appear in, the Hollywood Reporter, and so a full page ad. And my father lived long enough to see that.
Oh.
Of course, they went into turnaround, and they've been turning around for a lot of years here.
I know.
Yeah. And
I wrote a children's book called The Minstrel Tree, which was optioned for movies. And, of course, it goes on and on and on, and nothing ever happens.
I know. One of them was optioned twice.
I'm used to that.
Yeah, you know, the reason I'm broadcasting from Clearwater, Florida, the west coast of Florida instead of the west coast of California, is that my nerves couldn't take that. It was too much. You know, the ups, the downs, the turning around.
It's difficult. It's a very difficult business. It just is.
It is, and I
finally left because I thought I couldn't stand another watching one more sitcom.
Oh.
Each sitcom I had to see in rehearsal and hear the reading and then see the show. We'll figure out if they're 26 a year. Then, I mean, it was just, and also I was president for 10 years. So
yeah.
I thought that was enough.
Well, but of course, you are well known that you really turned that whole business around there.
Well, they had hired me only to close it off. They fired him, and they wanted to go out of the television business. Now Warner's is one of the biggest in the, you know, in the entertainment world.
And
that was interesting.
And of course, you know, my listeners are love a little gossip. So you have to just mention a few of the people you worked with because it'll give them a kick.
Oh, sure. Well, Linda Lavand, I worked with because I saved Alice. Alice was a bomb in the beginning. And then went, I think, 11 years. I did the Scarecrow and Mrs. King. I did, let's see, what else? Oh, Dukes of Hazzard, Head of the Class, Growing Pains. I don't know, it goes on and
on. And on. Yeah, well, you were responsible for so many. I think you were nominated for an Emmy for the one with the Bourne Identity, right?
That I produced outside of Warner.
That was later.
Longer president.
I still think that was so much better than the remake, the Bourne Identity, which was really, I thought.
I think ours was terrific.
Oh, yours was terrific.
I don't say that immodestly, but it was terrific.
It really was. It's funny. It still resonates with me. I can still see the scenes of that one. And the new one, I didn't like it at all.
After all, we had Richard Chamberlain and Jacqueline Smith, and they were terrific in it.
Oh, they were great. They were great. And you did a wonderful job, and it deserved an Emmy, I tell you, because that was a wonderful, wonderful movie or miniseries at the time. And
I did, Patsy, a lot of specials at that time. You know, I got Katharine Hepburn to do The Corners Green with George Cukor directing. And I got things like the Woman's Room and, I don't know, a lot of different things that I was able to do as specials. So in addition to the series stuff, which was what made the money, I was able to do some, let's in quotes say, cultural things.
Oh, well, I tried to get them to do something. I tried
to broaden your world, so did I.
Oh, boy. That's why you don't last. That's why they didn't take any meetings with me. I never got any of those producer lunches and stuff.
I would have taken a meeting with you.
It would have been nice, Mr. Shane. I just love saying it. I'm telling you, I love saying it because I know that, as I said, I have such respect for you as for the work that you did, and of course for your writing. Because is there anything special you'd like to talk about?
The book again.
Well, no, not just about the book. About what you've discovered in life here.
It'll sound so corny, but I discovered that love is the most important thing, which is not a great discovery. A lot of people have discovered that. But because of the relationship, I learned in the book that I wrote that there was love, that it existed, and that I could feel it, whereas my family didn't really. I mean, my mother and father didn't get along very well. My brother didn't like me. So I began to realize that I was something and that I could have relationship and love. And then I think so much of my life has been spent with my partner of now many years, now a husband, because we married. And the fact that this, even now in the pandemic, that we're together, I'm not alone, and we don't see anybody, as most people don't. But to have someone in your life is, the most important thing.
And, of course, he's an Emmy Award winner, too, Norman Shane. Norman Sunshine.
Yes, he's a Tony Award. Yeah, he's an Emmy Award winner. Yeah.
So I'm so happy that I had this opportunity to talk to you, Mr. Shane. If I meet you in person, then I'll be able to call you Alan.
New name.
Okay, well, Alan, this is a big thrill for me to be able to call you Alan. So I want to thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today. You are a joy for just celebrating life the way you do. And I want to tell people again that everybody can benefit from this book. It's called The Rain May Pass, and there is so much to learn in this life, and I was really thrilled to be able to talk to you today.
Oh, I enjoyed it so much, Patsy.
Okay. Well, you take care. Be careful out there with all this pandemic, and hopefully 2020 is almost over, and 2021 will be much more sunshine.
Oh, let us hope so. Let us hope so.
Okay. Well, thank you again.
Thank you, Patsy.
Okay. Bye-bye now. Bye.
Bye.
Wow. Okay, great. Well, I've had a busy day today, and it's just starting because I've got a busy afternoon. And I'm telling you, I'm really happy. Some of the books arrived when I came into the studio. There were books here, which is good because I will tell you, my mailman in my building, I've been having the books, because I wasn't sure if we'd have to lock out of the studio again. I didn't know what was going on. And so I've been having the books sent to my house, my condo, and I tell you, my mailman's not happy because they don't fit in the mailbox. I mean, I would have to have this giant mailbox, and so I'm happy that they're starting to come back here again, because it is also really it's a problem to have to go around and find them, because somebody actually picked one up one day and it was left outside, and somebody took my book, and so I had to go searching for it. Anyway, I'm very happy that I got to talk to these people today, and I want to thank one bunch of books that I got today was from Kensington Publishers sent me a bunch of books, and they are looking good as always. Kensington, of course, is a wonderful publisher, and they take writers without an agent. They publish. You don't have to have an agent to get through to Kensington. So if you are an author out there, they are definitely publishers that you will want to contact. And these are two new cozy mysteries. And both of these authors are going to be on the program, Louise Innes and Angela Sanders. And, of course, Carol J. Perry is another Kensington publisher. published author, and she's going to be on again soon, only because, oh, and I didn't have her for, I'm going to have her next Monday, next Tuesday, and I don't think she actually realizes that because we've been crazy here, but definitely she's going to be on because she writes Witch City Mysteries, and I always promote Witch City Mysteries here at Halloween, and of course, next Thursday, my goodness, I have Lee Child and Andrew Child. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the program, I call Andrew Drew because when I took a look at him, when I met him here at the Vinoy Hotel, and I took one look at him, and he's so tall, and you have to, just like with his brother, you have to tilt your head back to look up at him. And I was wearing high heels, and there's no way I could call him Andrew. He just looked like a Drew. And so ever since then, he let me call him Drew. And I love it. I love it. And they're going to be on together. My goodness, can you believe it? Their new book is coming out on Tuesday. But I didn't want to have them on Tuesday because they're going to be so busy. I don't think they would be relaxed. They're going to have, you know, whenever you have a pub date, you get like really, really frantic. And so I wanted to make sure that I had more time with them. And so they will be on Thursday, October 29th. And that's really, really exciting for me because I love them both. But particularly, I love Drew and his wife, Tasha Alexander. So it's a thrill that they will be guests next week. And what else? Oh, I'm telling everybody that National Novel Writing Month is coming up November 1st. You should register now. Register this week and sort of get your mind set on what you want to write. Start thinking about it. And then on November 1st, you wake up and you start writing your novel. And 50,000 words later, you are done. And you do it all in 1 month. My beautiful, beautiful goddaughter, Kanisha, has done it, I think, 3 years, maybe 4 years. She always finishes and she's always does a beautiful job. And she's going to get married. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. It's going to be so much fun. She's getting married in 3 weeks now. And so this is also exciting for me. So, and she's a writer. She's a great writer. Okay, remember, everybody, one of the joys of life is to see your words on paper or to hear them spoken in an audible book, or if you are very, very lucky, to hear those magic words, lights, camera, action, and your book will be turned into a major motion picture or maybe a streaming video or a series on the Hallmark Channel, like I hope for Carol J. Perry. Because it would be a wonderful series, and we need a new series. I've seen all of them over and over and over again until I'm going crazy. So get out there and start writing. And meanwhile, say something nice to somebody, and I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. Ed, thank you again. Thank you so much for Clorox number 5 sprayed around here. My throat is sore now, and I have to get out of here. Everybody, have a wonderful weekend. Hope if you love snow, it snows. And if you don't, I hope that maybe you are here in Florida and having beautiful, beautiful weather. Bye-bye now, everybody. I can't breathe anymore. Bye-bye.